in this room, give thanks. Even though everything is not the way you wanted it to be, give. Even though you didn't climb as high as you wanted to climb, give. May not have the house I want to have, but I'm still gonna give, give. My story didn't end the way I wanted it to end, but I'm just... Somebody that's thankful, lift your hand and just give it to him. Give it. Give thanks. Give thanks. My job, everyone standing, I'm going to get you out of here in just a moment. My job, my life, my career outside of ministry puts me often in the company of secular people. And I've learned some interesting things. It's not that our troubles are so different. Life is life. It falls on the just and the unjust.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Sorrow, you let him have your blood right now. the Lord will make a way somehow.
Yes, he will, yes, he will.
When beneath the cross I bow, he will take away your sorrow.
There's a sweet relief
on your bad days.
There's a sweet relief
when you don't know.
There's a sweet relief
your angel.
There's a sweet relief
in the midnight hours.
There's a sweet relief
he's right there. By your side, depend on Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. And certainly we thank God again for Brother Wilson. Thank you for leading us in prayer. And let me say how good our ushers look in their new shirts that your tithes and offerings bought. Amen. Now somebody said, why can't they each buy their own shirts? Well, they're working for the Lord in Pleasant Hill. Amen. So we thank God that we were able to buy shirts for all of our ushers, and we bought extra shirts. And as I told y'all, they were not as cheap as they used to be. Amen. And also, our deaconesses have new shirts. They're not right. They're too small. It's the shirt. Okay. All right. Amen. I've been there, done that. I know. Yes, Lord, my clothes just have a funny way of getting smaller and smaller. But we thank God. Amen. Let's stand all over this place. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Philippians, chapter 3. I want to talk about living with a Christ-centered mindset, the runner's focus. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Let me read it first from the King James Version, and then I want to read it from the New International Version. Amen. The King James Version reads this way: Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Let me hear everybody say press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the New International Version reads this way: Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we ask God that you will speak to our hearts and to our minds and help us, God, to know the truth that you would have us to know on this Sunday morning. We thank you and we give you praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. The runner's focus. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Thank you, ushers. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we come together in God's presence, I want you to envision Paul's powerful teaching in Philippians. Imagine, if you will, a runner, no ordinary athlete, but one chosen and purposed by God, refusing to let yesterday's baggage slow him down. With every fiber of his being, he's reaching, he's stretching, he's straining toward the prize that has been set before him. Paul's words are not just good advice. They are a divine strategy for walking in focus, living with purpose, and keeping Christ at the center of our lives. Today, I want us to discover what it truly means to run this race with the mindset of a spiritual champion. Come on, pat yourself on the back or on the shoulder and say, I'm a champion, I'm a champion. Amen, amen. I want to focus and deal with a mind that releases the pain of the past, reaches toward the promise of the future, and pours everything into the present moment. First of all, let's talk about forgetting what lies behind. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. When Paul encourages us to forget what's behind, he's not telling us to erase our memories. He's not telling us to pretend that the past never happened. No, ma'am, no, sir. What he's doing is he's inviting us to release the grip that those things have on our spirit. You see, forgetting is not passive. It is an intentional daily surrender. It's waking up every morning and making the choice to lay aside regrets, to lay aside our pride, to lay aside our pain. As a matter of fact, we ought to lay aside anything that would block us from pursuing all that Christ has for us. Paul himself experienced firsthand that freedom from yesterday is made possible only by our faith in Jesus the Christ. This goes right in line with what we're dealing with in Bible study on this past Wednesday. We dealt with that passage that says, be still and know that I am God. I told you on Wednesday night that in the Greek, that word be still is a word that many of us are familiar with, the word Rapha. And the word Rapha has a whole lot of different meanings, but in the context that we dealt with it on Wednesday night, be still, Rapha means to what? Be weak. We said it means to what? Relax. We said it means to let go. Amen, amen, amen. And so when we let go, we open up the door to renewed purpose. We open up the door to fresh energy. We open up the door to a deeper walk with God. What do we need to let go of? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Amen. It is Paul's intent to get us to leave the past behind. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. Leave the past behind. My brothers and sisters, this is how we shake loose the chains of regret, the nostalgia that keeps us from hearing the voice of the Lord calling us forward. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God wants you to move forward. Somebody here knows all too well that if you keep dwelling on what cannot be changed, you'll only find yourself drained and discouraged. Oh my, some of y'all can't praise God right because your friend quit talking to you. Amen. Some of y'all can't praise God right. Amen. Because your money is funny and your change is strange. And this shutdown ain't helping the situation at all. Amen. Amen. But when you dwell on what you cannot change, you will find yourself frustrated. You will find yourself discouraged. you will find yourself drained. You will find yourself void of the praise. And where are my folk who understand that God inhabits the praise of his people? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you're looking for God to show up, you better learn how to praise him. Praise him when, Pastor? Praise him on the mountain. But you also better know how to praise him in the valley. Do I have any? You better learn how to praise him when your money and your bank account is on fire. But you better know how to praise him when you can't rub two nickels together. Is there anybody here who has found out that if you can get God to show up, he will make the difference in your life? So you got to learn how to let go. Lay those memories at the feet of Jesus. You step into authentic spiritual freedom when you truly learn how to let go of the past. Let it go, let it go. You know what I found out? I found out that I create new space for the new life, for the abundant life that Jesus talks about when I learn how to let some stuff go. Amen, amen, amen. Let go of past failures. There are those among us who are burdened by mistakes, weighed down by failures, wrestling with sins committed. The enemy wants you to believe that you're not qualified. You can't run this race. But hear me, my brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, the same man who persecuted the church, knows what it means to be forgiven. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God. Those sins, the Bible says, the Greek word tabula rasa means wipe the slate clean. That's what God does when he forgives us. He wipes the slate clean. You, amen. You can't have good church because you're worried about a sin you committed 3 years ago. You can't praise God like you want to praise him because you know there's some folk in here who remember you when. And ain't it funny how the same folk remember you when forget that they were the same way when? Is there anybody in here who can thank God that he has redeemed you from your past? Those sins are thrown into a sea of forgetfulness. Don't let yesterday's guilt and shame trip up your stride today. You've got to let go of past failures. But I think I need to also tell you that, amen, not only do you need to let go of past failures, I'm talking about if you're going to truly go forward, sometimes we got to also let go of past successes. Can we have a real talk this morning? Sometimes the biggest obstacle to tomorrow's blessing is yesterday's victory. Oh, my, oh, my. I hate to tell you, my brother, but amen. You don't look like you looked 20 years ago. Amen, amen. I hate to tell you, my sister, you cute. You look real good. Amen, but amen. You're not what you were 20 years ago. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of the awards you received yesterday and the promotions you received last time. But is there anybody in here foolish enough to believe that God has more for you than you had on yesterday? Paul describes the Christian life as a race that demands we look ahead with unwavering hope and with fierce determination. But sometimes we can't look ahead because we stuck on yesterday. I heard a story about a young man who had been hired by this prestigious company. And, amen, he came there with this long resume and all of these accomplishments that he had. But his supervisor noticed that he wasn't really giving the new job everything he should. And that supervisor asked him, the supervisor said, young man, did your old job tell you that if things didn't work out for you over here, that you could always come back to that old job? He said, yes, sir. Did your old job tell you that if you weren't satisfied with the way things were happening on your new job, that you could always go back to your old job? The young man said, yes, sir. And the supervisor said, well, that's the problem. You cannot give the new job everything you need to give it because you still have the old job in your back pocket. Come here, somebody. God wants to elevate you. God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you with more and with greater, but you're still caught up on yesterday's blessings. I am so glad, and I know I got two or three folk in here who are glad with me that we serve the kind of God that is not limited by yesterday's successes. He's not bound by last year's accomplishments. God always has more. Is there anybody in here that believes that he always has more? You can keep advancing. You can keep being promoted. So you've got to, amen, let go, let go, let go of past failures. Let go of past successes. But, amen, you also need to let go of past disappointments. Sometimes the weight we carry isn't just about our mistakes or our failures, but sometimes we get caught up, we get hung up, amen, on dreams that didn't come to pass. We get hung up on prayers that seem unanswered. We get hung up on opportunities that seem to have slipped through our fingers. But I've come by to tell you that these disappointments can cloud our vision and sap our strength. Yet Paul's message is clear: release the sorrow and trust that God's plan is greater than anything we may have lost. Oh my, oh my, I've come by to tell you that when we surrender our disappointments, we make room for God's restoration and new beginnings. Is there anybody here who knows there ain't nothing like a new start, a fresh start? Amen. A new beginning, a new opportunity. Come on. Somebody ought to be thankful today because you thought that that change that was coming in your life was going to destroy you. You thought that that change that was ahead on your itinerary of life was going to set you back. But I believe I got two or three folk up in here who can say, I had no idea how God could bless me in a new environment, on a new job, in a new relationship. I had no idea how God is able to pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on solid ground. Give him praise in this place today. So the first point again is you've got to be willing to leave the past behind. But then secondly, not only must you leave the past behind, but secondly, you've got to reach forward to what lies ahead. That's what Paul is telling us. And if the first point teaches us to let go of the anchors of the past, this second point calls on us to fix our eyes on our destination. My daddy taught me when he was teaching me how to drive, amen, for far too many times, I kept looking in the rearview mirror. He said the rearview mirror is just for glancing at. That's why the front window is so much bigger than the rearview mirror. Amen. Get your eyes off of the past and look where you're going. Come on here, somebody. Amen, amen. And so what God is telling us and what Paul is describing, he's describing the Christian life as a race that demands that we look ahead with unwavering hope and with fierce determination. I don't know about y'all, but I got to make it. Said I got to make it. Oh my, oh my. Sometimes you got to say it to yourself because you don't have any family or friends to encourage you. Amen. And some of you can remember how I used to love to sing that song, I'll Make It. And can I tell y'all something? Amen. Raymond Jordan came along, and God rest his soul. Amen. And he took the song. Now, I don't even want to sing it anymore because he sung it so masterfully. But that was my song, and it still is my song. I'll Make It. And can I tell y'all, there were times that I was singing that song and up here shouting, amen, not knowing how I was going to make it. But one thing I knew is that I am going to make it. Come on, come on. Y'all remember in that song I used to put in the words Dr. King used to say? He said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But you got to make it. Where are my folk who've got the determination that I'm going forward? I'm going to keep my eyes focused on what's ahead. I am going to make it. Sometimes you got to tell it to yourself. Sometimes you got to say it because the devil is right there trying to discourage you and trying to keep you focused on the past and keep you stuck where you are. Amen. But I'm going to make it. And so you got to look forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead? I'm glad you asked. Number one, look toward Christ's likeness. The finish line isn't just about getting there. It's about being transformed in the process. It's about being made more like Jesus. It's the journey of growing, maturing, and being sanctified every day. Paul's deepest desire was to know Christ intimately. And that's why you read one passage. He said, that I may know him. Amen. I want to know him. And Paul said, I want to know him so badly. I want to know him so intimately that I even want to be a part of his suffering. I want to know the pain that he felt to rescue me. I want to know what he had to do. And then he said, I also want to know the same spirit that got him up. Is there anybody here who knows that the same Holy Ghost that got Jesus up from the dead will get you up out of your dead situation, will give you new life and new joy? Amen. You've got to move towards Christ's likeness, but then you also have to move towards the heavenly prize. Paul wasn't running for a cheap, temporary reward. He was running, the Bible says, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that, my brothers and sisters, is our eternal hope. That ought to be your motivation. Keeping our eyes on the glory of heaven will give us strength to press on through every valley. It will give us strength to press on while being lied on. It will give us the strength to press on while being talked about. You've got to press towards the heavenly prize. But then you also have to look toward new opportunities. Y'all, God is always up to something. He's always up to something new in our lives and in the world around us. But if we're stuck gazing in the rearview mirror, we'll miss the brand new miracles and blessings that God wants to unfold in us and through us. I come by to tell somebody today that your future is brighter than your past. I come by to tell somebody today, amen, that no matter what your past was like, God has set you up for a comeback. He has set you up for a bright future. Don't ever let your past discourage you to the point that you feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. There's some folk in this room who, if you could recount your past right now, you would have to testify that there were some people in your past who told you you'd never be anything. They told you you'd never amount to anything. Amen. If you look at your past, you can recall being born on the wrong side of the tracks. Some of you were born in poverty and chaos and confusion, but you ought to stand up on this Sunday morning and say, look how far I've come with the Lord. Won't he bring you a mighty long way? Won't he bring you all the way? Give him praise in this place. Thank God on today for new opportunities. Amen. Now hear me. When we set our sights on what God has in front of us, we don't walk this road alone. The grace of God is walking right beside you. Don't you see it? Lifting you up when you're down. Don't you see the grace of God showing the way when you can't even see your next step? This journey isn't about flawless performance. It's about a determined faith. Trusting the Lord even when you can't trace him. I text my secretary this morning. I said, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to print my sermon out. My printer just went out at home. Amen. I need you to remind me to pray for this person. And she